You can talk all you want, but my skin is really thick. I'm the leader of the crowd, and my game is really slick. I'm unstoppable, 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 unstoppable. You can talk all you want, but my skin is really
thick. Hello and welcome to Film Wonk. This is Glenn.
And I'm Daniel.
And we are tonight we're going to be reviewing Tony Scott's new film, Unstoppable, starring Denzel Washington and Chris Pine. Now, Daniel, were you one of the unfortunate souls who had the privilege of seeing the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 remake?
No, because I was smart enough to see that trailer and say, that's going to be a stupid movie.
Well, unfortunately, I was not.
Naturally.
I went and saw it with my parents.
Okay.
And it was not as terrible as I'd expected, but this one, I actually came into this movie ready to despise it when I saw the trailer for this film, which stars Denzel Washington and Chris Pine, like I mentioned, as the conductor and engineer of a train that is trying to stop another train that can't be stopped. Or to put it more concisely, this is Speed 3, Train Edition. And supposedly inspired by true events. But this movie looked just plain awful. Like, it's a train. They're throwing different things on the tracks in front of it, and we get to watch it explode through them. And at one point, I think we actually see the cops shooting at the train in the trailer.
Right.
Like, he's not stopping. Take him out.
He's mortal.
This movie looked awful, and I had no interest in seeing it. It was, but we actually thought it would be decent conversation fodder. So, Daniel, was this did this remotely succeed as a thriller for you?
I never found it thrilling. I mean, it was entertaining. It was entertaining fluff, but it wasn't thrilling. I never once was like, oh no, not the characters, or that explosion was Nino. I was like, no, okay, they're gonna chase down the train. Okay, the train's unstoppable. Okay, the train looks really slow.
Yeah, I've never. I've never seen a horse trailer explode in that many dimensions before. But
I mean, that was
sort of flipped up, flipped around. That was a pretty.
That was the only part of the movie where I was like, "Oh, get out, horsey, get out!"
Yeah, that horse looked like he was in actual danger, but exploded into some hay there. You're right. That was definitely the big distraction watching this movie, was the trains looked like they were moving substantially slower than the speedometers told us and the characters told us throughout the movie.
I mean, it might as well have been like, that's going 200 miles an hour.
Well, I mean, I'm willing to grant that that the lengths of the trains makes it difficult to judge their speed effectively, which is, in fact, how so many people get run over by trains every year, is they think they're going slower than they actually are. Because the total length of the train doesn't zip by as fast as a car going 60 miles per
right.
hour. So,
if you're willing to play chicken with a train, I guess you kind of deserve what happens.
Well, there you go. But I think where this movie succeeded for me was even if it was only going 40 to 50 miles an hour, which actually reading up on the actual events this was based on, the train really was only going 40 to 50 miles per hour. But I actually bought that the characters were doing some very dangerous things around this train. There's a sequence which is revealed in the trailer in which they attempt to hook up a locomotive to the backside of the train. While it's at speed, and no matter how fast the trains were actually going for them to film this scene, it looked incredibly dangerous as they were doing it. I think the use of trains and tracks and rail yards and every little thing here. I mean, it was a great little kind of blue collar worst case scenario that they've created here, and I completely bought Denzel Washington and Chris Pine as these two just kind of everymen who get thrust into the situation and come out on top.
Denzel Washington, yes. Chris Pine, he was too pretty for that role.
Mm.
Like, too pretty for the train conductor, like, cadet, basically. Like,
yeah, that was kind of another reason I was hostile to this movie, was I absolutely loved him in Star Trek, and he just oozed charisma in that role, and for this to be his follow-up, I was expecting it to be god-awful, but he mostly acquit himself. I think there were some problems with the writing of his character. His kind of backstory with his wife is kind of, I don't know, it doesn't really mesh with what we see on screen, I think, of his character.
I would say it was completely unnecessary. Yeah. Like, the movie is about an unstoppable train. It's not like, oh no, but my marriage is failing and that train won't stop. Everything's going wrong.
You know, I don't even mind establishing that he's got an estranged wife, but the detail and the manner in which they established that just didn't ring true for me.
Yeah, it was just kind of silly.
But it was fun, and I think I think the banter between those two, the chemistry between those two actors worked pretty well. And
yeah.
and as a result, just watching them kind of bullshit with each other in the cabin was enjoyable for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I like their relationship, and I mean, I like Denzel Washington. He can do no wrong for me. I mean, he could be a pirate and have a shotgun, and I'd be like, awesome, Denzel Washington's the best.
Now, it's interesting, though. This movie didn't really have a villain, and it didn't... I think it tried to have one, but... Now, the villain was the inept company VP who wants to... at one point, he wants to derail the train. At another point, he wants to try and get somebody onto the train, or they try various plans, but... I never really understood why the train yard leader, played by Rosario Dawson, was so opposed to what this VP was doing. Now he cuts her out of the decision making process early on, and I guess that's meant to be mean or what have you. But what they end up doing is no less heroic an attempt or adept of an attempt than what Coulson and Barnes try later on. They try to stop it with a train. They try to drop a guy on it with a helicopter. I mean, it's daring stuff, and that could just as easily have been the subject of this movie. But somehow they're made out to be the bad guys for trying this.
They're villains because they yell at a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're villains because, you know, only our heroes get to save the day. And
right.
that was just kind of
silly. They're kind of like the BP of the movie. Like, they just have right. all these different ideas. Oh, We're gonna launch a Marine from a helicopter onto the train, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the obligatory scene in a boardroom where the scumbag businessmen are talking about what the financial impact on their company is going
to
be.
Of course, the CEO's golfing.
If both the train is destroyed, or if the event radius is big enough to encompass this town with a large population, and. I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but the fact that such conversations occur in this world is not offensive to me. It was not stopping them from coming up with a plan for how to stop the train. Their plan just happened to not work, and that doesn't make their plan bad. I mean, obviously, derailing the train was a valid option, or Rosario Dawson wouldn't have pushed for it in the first place. So,
right.
Or what was her character's name? Coolidge? Or
I can't remember.
I'm going to laugh at myself for saying Coolidge later. But anyway. But yeah, I thought another thing that kind of enhanced the sequence later on was all these different shots of news broadcasts.
It's the best part of the movie.
Oh yeah, I mean there's this great scene where the train is approaching this dangerous curve, and we see a little news broadcast with a CG graphic of what could happen if the train spills over the edge of the curve.
I was delighted that in this world the news was kind of malicious in how they had distributed like their information. It was like, look at how terrible this is going to be. Are you ready?
Oh, totally, yeah. They definitely... It was almost like... I think the comparison I made to you after we saw the movie was, it was like a laugh track on a sitcom. Like, this was the audience of the movie within the movie telling us how to feel about it. And I didn't really mind it, actually. It was kind of... It kind of added to the mood.
I love that. And I had a few quibbles. One, every time they went to a new location, you know, they tell us where the new location is.
Oh, in Southern Pennsylvania?
But in Southern Pennsylvania. After the second time, I get it. We're in Southern Pennsylvania. That's where the movie takes place.
Or is that South America?
I think it's somewhere around Venezuela, but... damn it, I don't know. Seriously, like, every time, it's like, Southern Pennsylvania, like, marker, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I get it. Why are you insulting me?
Yeah, I think this movie took something which was a relatively dangerous problem in real life and just ratcheted it up. It increased the speed, it increased the scale of the potential disaster, and I think mostly it seemed like a real life situation, and it was handled in a very real world sort of way. And I'm also hesitant to complain about the lack of a villain in this movie because what we got in The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 was John Travolta doing possibly his most ridiculous villain yet, with such choice lines as "Lick my bunghole, motherfucker." But yeah, this movie didn't need a villain. The villain was the unstoppable train, and we even get treated to a SWAT team trying to shoot its fuel tank out.
Which, yeah, makes a lot of sense. How did you like how the train was actually finally stopped?
Spoiler alert, Daniel. The train is unstoppable. It's right there in the title.
It's still going to this day, yes.
I don't really think it's possible to spoil this movie, but yeah, when it comes to a train, a story based on real life, there was no train that went out of control and blew up an entire city. We would know about that. So that didn't happen. That is in fact how the movie ends. But the manner in which it was stopped, I think it mostly worked. We have this kind of cowboy welder who, but yeah, it all seemed very plausible. I'm going with.
You know, I know a lot of people who are mumbling, why don't they just do that in the first place? Why are they trying to derail it or whatnot? And of course, the answer is, well, then they won't have a movie. And I think what they should have done was have that be their first option and then have someone get killed trying to do that. And they're like, we can't do that again. We don't want another person dying. Let's try these other tactics.
Well, that is essentially what we saw in the movie. I mean, they tried a tactic which was stopping it from the front side, and it didn't end well for the guy driving that train.
No, I mean like driving alongside it and then having the guy jump in. Like, I want to see that guy slip and then get run over by the train.
Yeesh.
And then I want them to be like, well, we have to try other things. And then, you know, Chris Pine does it. You know, does it right at the end.
I'm not sure I agree with that criticism, because I think the movie did that. I mean, I think we saw a number of unsuccessful attempts, which were perfectly viable plans. I mean, the idea of dropping somebody onto the train with a helicopter or something on those lines. I mean, it was the first idea that I thought of actually for how to stop this train was just get a helicopter and drop somebody on top of it, and they at least made me believe that that's incredibly dangerous. So
yeah, especially how they screw it up.
Yeah, it's almost like they probably could have just held off on doing those two plans simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, is there any particular reason why the train needs to be slowed down to 40 miles an hour before you can drop the guy on top? A helicopter can definitely go fast enough, but... yeah, I mean, the guy dangling from underneath it is not going to be any less dead if he falls off of that train at 40 than if he falls off at 70, so...
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was fluff. Thinking about it too seriously, while fun, it doesn't do the movie justice. It was a silly action movie with very little action, just a train going sort of fast on a track.
Yeah, I noticed something that happened toward the end of the movie. We see some police racing along the track, and one of them just goes over the track too fast and just rolls.
Yeah.
We don't know who this guy is, but I've actually seen that seems to be a something that Tony Scott is fond of, because in the taking of Pelham 123, there's a scene where the cops are racing to get something across the city before it's too late, and what we see is the police are just flipping out and smashing every which way. We don't know who any of these people are. Just to randomly throw that in there, I actually found myself kind of liking that, like police behaving in the manner of an action movie and having it result as it would in real life, which is they would crash and wipe out.
Well, you know when they try using the first train to stop from the front side,
yes,
and then the results of that, they have that moment where they want the audience, at least from what I was. My take on it. They want the audience to feel terrible for that person.
For that person that we met for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, we was in one scene, he said one line, and he was a douchebag. So I don't understand why I should care about this person.
I mean, they tried to make him and all the old timers more sympathetic. I mean, they threw in all those union issues and the ideas of the younger people coming in to replace the older people because they have lower salaries and the older ones are getting forced retirement, and it's all pretty well tread territory. I mean, we've seen many movies before, but
yeah, it's nothing new.
But it was done pretty well, if only because Chris Pine and Denzel Washington had very good chemistry together. So
yeah, no, I mean they did. It was just it was kind of an uninteresting movie. You know, I mean you can't really do much when it's like there's a train going out of control. Like Speed was fun because they're crashing into stuff and Sandra Bullock got to look hot and like there was a villain. I think the movie needed a villain.
So you wanted John Travolta screaming "Lick my bunghole, motherfucker"?
That would be more entertaining, because I think John Travolta's funny, but...
Yeah, I mean, we could have done with a little Dennis Hopper in this movie.
We could all do well with some Dennis Hopper.
But, yeah, I think... the other thing I said to you as we walked into the theater was I'm not sure I have much to say about this movie. I think looking at this movie in a critical manner is kind of a waste of time.
Wrong. It exercises our brains.
Indeed. Well, as we are staving off Alzheimer's in this recording booth here, Daniel, I'll ask you, should anyone see this movie? And if so, who might enjoy it?
You know, people who feel that if they are heroic, they could save their marriage. That's the kind of person that should see this movie. Also, if you have like $10 to burn, you're like, hey, I like Denzel Washington. I want to see what he does. That's worth it. It's not a bad movie. I mean, it's not a great movie, but it's a fun movie. So people who should see it is anyone with some time to kill, want to see some kind of fun action movie.
It's funny you mentioned the bit about anybody who thinks they can be a hero to save their marriage. I mean, you jest, but I think I liked this movie a little bit more than you did, and I think what it did pretty well was kind of show these everyman guys just doing something absolutely ridiculous and heroic, and I think that I found that quite enjoyable. I think this was a very fun but completely stupid action movie. It is absolutely worth seeing on the big screen. Maybe a matinee. but yeah, there are also, if you like trains like I do, there are just some gorgeous and very broad shots of trains and tracks doing every little thing you can imagine.
You know, I think they try to make like the railway seem exciting and dangerous, and I'm like, man, that looks like a boring job. This is the one day it's not.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the mundane is not particularly exciting, but when you consider that the amount of weight and force and throttle being moved around all the time, it could go very wrong at any given time. I mean, it's the excitement, and I'm doing air quotes, that can be found in a warehouse or in a construction site or anywhere where heavy equipment is being used.
So in the next Speed movie, what is it going to be?
I think it's probably going to involve a wrecking ball or something along those lines.
No, how about an airplane?
Right. If the plane goes goes over 50, it'll crash. Or that would be a very short movie. I don't know.
We have to think on that. I think we need to write that movie.
All right, that's in development, and as of now, it's copyrighted. So you know, don't go stealing our idea, Hollywood.
Especially how the Taliban are the pilots. That's the twist.
Damn it, Daniel.
Gah.
All right, with that, I think that brings us to the end of our discussion of Tony Scott's Unstoppable. Thank you, and good night.
Good night.